Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good evening to the people of the peninsula of abysmalness. Yes, indeed, my friends. It is, in fact, Tuesday, November the 24th, and it's right around, you know, just before that period of time that precedes 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in Seattle. Right, Pacific Standard Time, where the people live as the freaks of yesteryear. The ancient freaks that live in the woods and come out at night. They feed upon the meat protein and the scrowback. They feed upon the grumbus that lives in the sea. There's not much left there that lives anymore. Drink a little water so I don't get cotton mouth. Ah, the clean, fresh, fluoridated water that the Acora.com Foundation, I think it's spelled A-R-C-O-R-A, tells us is so natural to have this fluoridic acid that comes from all kinds of chemical projects put into the water. But it's there naturally, Dan. It keeps our natural Washington State teeth clean. It keeps them sparkling white. Why do you have a choice, Dan, except the fact that it's our responsibility to care? It's our responsibility to care. We're supposed to shove it down your throat. Because you don't know any better, Dan. You're just a worthless slave. Yeah, so it's November the 24th, and I am drinking the mountain fresh fluoride water that the Acora Foundation tells me, with the attractive Asian American doctor who has a commercial on YouTube explaining how she loves being a doctor and how she can't think about everything, but she thanks the Lord. I think she means Baal or Satan. She thanks Lord Satan or the golden calf that they put fluoride in the water. At least now she doesn't have to worry about poisoning her kids. That's right. You don't have to worry about poisoning your kids, doctor. Because they put the poison in the water, and now you have one less thing to worry about. Yeah. Anyways, I was supposed to podcast with my friend Jim Davidson tonight, and the fact is I woke up at like 2:30 a.m. last night. I've had a lot of weird sleep patterns recently. I don't think I'm the only one. Currently, we have these days where we get a little bit of what I'm going to sarcastically call sun. But most of the days in the last month have been this weird gray, brown, black, brushed out, semi-cloud formed at times. Sometimes it looks normal, but most times it looks like a smeared out French bulldog vomit across the sky. And the key point is it's been laid on pretty thick, and so not a lot of sunlight. In fact, one could even, you know, presume to believe that they're doing solar radiation management, but that's impossible. Because they said it's impossible, even though they have conferences on it. It's impossible, even though DARPA has projects on it. It's impossible, even though the US DOD actually talks about weather warfare in their high-level strategy documents going back to the 50s. But it's impossible because Ken Caldera, the chief engineer of fucking up the weather, who works for Bill Gates, would never poison people from the sky, except I think he was actually caught on mic saying, you know, on microphone saying, Ken Caldera, Bill Gates' favorite weather engineer, he was caught on mic saying that one of the cool things he did for DARPA was figure out a way to poison people with, you know, biological warfare from clouds. You put the poison bacteria in the clouds, and the clouds roll on by, but not in some really nice fucking way. Like that fucking cool musical, like, you know, Jerome Kern, you fuck. I think it was a movie about Jerome Kern. Yeah, he would have never made a musical about fuckers that poison you from the sky. You do your own research, but his name is Dr. Ken Caldera. And he actually thought it was funny that he had this project where he was asked, could you figure out a way to put a biological weapon into a cloud so the cloud could roll over a country and release it like rain, like precipitation? That's really great company you have there, Bill Gates. Between him and Epstein, I mean, what I'm going to say about Bill Gates, if you look at the people who are his friends, and I include Warren Buffett because I'm sorry, he's a piece of shit too. But if you look at Bill Gates' friends, the people who are connected to him at the hip, they are either obviously or cryptically really horribly evil and disgusting people. And so even if you kind of like Bill Gates, which I don't imagine how you fucking could, you have to kind of observe the fuckers he hangs out with, like Dr. Ken Caldera. So yes, I was supposed to podcast with Jim, and like almost every fucking day for the last month, the sky was basically so dark and so dim that it basically, well, the sun barely came up at all. I mean, yes, we had sunlight, technically, in this weird, bugged-out French bulldog sky reality, you get some solar radiation. And I actually think, you know, maybe some ultraviolet C, which isn't so good. But the natural, healthy sunlight that you need so you don't just die, they try to, like, block that out now. Now, a friend of mine who lives in another state sent me a pretty picture of the sky. And I think he didn't mean it, but it made me feel sad. Because I would love to even just, you know, Washington State, when I was growing up, would have cloudy, rainy days. But they were not this deformed mungus. In addition, the sun would come out, even on cloudy, rainy days, and it looked like the sun, and the sky looked blue, and in general, it didn't look like someone was playing Etch-a-Sketch at 35,000 feet. So I'm sorry, if you want to pull some bullshit, the topic will come up, but I've had some dickheads try to pull some bullshit on me, some really bad gaslighting bullshit. All I have to say, if you're going to put the effort in, come up with account structures that aren't so stupid. Yes, I was supposed to podcast with Jim. He is my friend. He understands I'm a human being. If he's listening, he understands that. And you say, oh, Dan, but you're podcasting alone. Yeah, you know what? I'm a fucking hermit. That's right. I'm a fucking hermit, so fuck you. Anyways, Jim is my friend. We're going to shoot for tomorrow if I'm not too dark and ridden by parasites. First topic. One of the questions that might occur to you, and it might, I don't think it will, but it could, is what if there was a hip-hop world? I don't mean a hip-hop world as in hip-hop dudes and a hip-hop city someplace on Earth that currently exists. I'm talking about a different hip-hop world. What if there was a hip-hop universe? And there was a hip-hop planet. And Dan lived there, but he was known as Hip-Hop Dan. Hip-Hop Dan and a hip-hop world. You know what my hip-hop name would be? My hip-hop handle would be Gingerbread. And I don't care if someone else already has it who lives in, like, I don't know, Dublin. I don't care. If there's already a gingerbread fucking ginger fuck Irishman or Irish woman or Irish whatever, because now sexuality is basically like the movie The Blob. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. In the hip-hop universe, where there's a hip-hop planet, my name would be Gingerbread, because I would be Hip-Hop Dan. I would be Hip-Hop Dan in a hip-hop world, and I'd be known as Gingerbread. And you know something? I would have fly girls, vodka, martini, beverages on ice. One of those things that makes margaritas for you, the Margarita 4000. Yes, in a hip-hop world, I would have fly girls and vodka coming out of a fucking fountain. I would have a champagne bathtub and Grimbic cubes. I would have cocaine and hookers and all the scroblat that I could shove through my splinctus sack right next to my tornado nozzle. Right next to my tornado nozzle, I would inject the scroblat. Yes, indeed, if I lived in a hip-hop world, I would inject scroblat after doing cocaine and hanging out with hookers. And I would be Gingerbread. Right next to my tornado nozzle. And all will say Bo Jizzle before the Hooker Kingdom. I would be known as the Hooker King. I would end up building a castle on Mars. I would become the hip-hop ruler of a hip-hop Mars. I would have a club on Olympus Mons called the Sky Club. And Jim, if you're listening, I will build a special condominium on Olympus Mons in a hip-hop world, my friend Jim. But the thing is, in the hip-hop world, he will also have a hip-hop name. And he won't be Jim Davidson. He will be called... Yeah. He'll be called... The Space Master. Space Master would have a hip-hop condo on Olympus Mons, which would be hip-hop Mars. I would be the hip-hop king. I would have hip-hop armies of hookers and scroglats and Gronkus lords. I would have every gang formed up wearing all kinds of post-apocalyptic, semi-leather, sort of sweaty outfits. Very revealing. Butt cracks will be seen. Therefore, you know, even though this is going to be hypocritical, they kind of have to be fit, if you know what I mean. Very, very hypocritical. Yes, my armies, the ones that get to wear the sweaty uniforms, will have to be between the ages of 25 and 38, and they basically will have to be in pretty good shape and be okay with being oiled up before combat. Especially if it's the battle between the female armies of Mars or the hooker armies. Because that's part of being a hip-hop gingerbread king hero. Yes, if there was a hip-hop universe. If I lived on a hip-hop planet, my hip-hop name would be Gingerbread. If I were the hip-hop king of Little Saigon. Next topic. So now you understand that I have a dream of becoming a hip-hop king, and that's okay. It's not that original. It really isn't. So many people desire to be the hip-hop lords and hip-hop kings. So many people pursue that impossible journey towards hip-hop wonderland. It's every boy's dream to meet Snoop Dogg. Just like it's every redneck's dream, redneck pothead's dream to meet Willie Nelson. It's every young man's dream to meet and to couple with Scarlett Johansson. Indeed, we all have dreams. Some of us want to be hip-hop king. Some of us want to fly into outer space. Some of us want to travel in tubes. Some of us want to travel in tubes covered in space grease at 18 times the speed of light. If we were all hip-hop kings in a hip-hop world. Next topic, right. Next topic. I'm going to drink a little water, though, because my throatal zone is covered in a grease that is preventing me from actually expressing myself in any rational, decent way. This fluoridated water from the mountain springs of hell is so tasty. Thank you, Arcora Foundation. Thank you, attractive Asian doctor from commercial. Thank you for your advice. It's really clearing up my throat and leaving plaques on my brain cells. Yes, indeed, in a hip-hop world, right? Next topic. Anyways, I was thinking about COVID-19 today. And I know that we've had lots of theories and not a lot of good or trustworthy information. What I can tell you from what I can observe is that although we have a real problem with douchebag commies in Seattle, we don't really have a pandemic here. And I know they're ratcheting up the fear news. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. This time around, they might actually release a biological weapon. They might. Okay? We're not living in a time currently where decent people rule. I'm not saying we're in tribulation, but let me put it this way. You would not, in my opinion, be considered stupid by a devout Christian if you thought you were in tribulation. Because some of the shit going on is really dark, really, really evil, and really messed up. And like I said, Ken Caldera, you know, joked about working for the DOD, for DARPA, to figure out ways to seed clouds with biological weapons. So if, and again, it's not even that big of a mystery. Bill Gates has publicly wanted to deploy mosquitoes with fucking viruses, okay? This is a evil piece of shit. So if you ask the question, what would they do? This time around, they might actually use a real biological weapon. But so far, I don't see anything that approaches a comparison to a plague or a pandemic. And the masks are mostly just horribly, well, horribly upsetting in an existential sense, but they don't serve any purpose to protect people. They actually act as what I've said before, a baffle or a shunt. What they do is create turbulence. So if there were a problem, you know, in terms of a virus or a bacterium, the fucking mask would actually energize the particles, the droplets, and put them further up. They would stay in the air longer. That is the nature of turbulence. That's the nature of providing that little extra bit of force. And you get that from a baffle or a shunt. That's why biological weapons, when they're deploying this, don't try to deploy it as some spew, okay, like you're coughing or you're fucking spitting. What they do is they try to create a fucking cloud. And you can do that with a baffle or a shunt. Anywho, the mask doesn't do anything good. But this time around, I don't know, guys. I kind of feel like this is a fool me once, fool me twice thing. You know? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, they don't want us to come down that path. So this time around, they might actually use a real thing. I do believe they killed people to make it seem like it was COVID. I think a lot of elderly people have been killed in 2020. I believe, and I cannot prove it, that Governor Cuomo, if there were a rule of law, Governor Cuomo would be arrested under RICO, not simply for operating an illegal conspiracy, which is what RICO is about. Yeah, it's funny, the government jokes about conspiracy theories, except for its most important corpus of law governing modern crime is based upon the idea that you can, you know, arrest people within a conspiracy. Anyways, government says contradictory bullshit all the time. But if there were a rule of law under RICO and murder and a whole bunch of statutes, this motherfucker would be guilty of multiple civil rights violations. There are so many laws, including international laws. Like, if you could arrest him, I think there'd be a case at the Hague Court. So he could sit right next to any other Serbian douchebag serving time for murdering people in 1994. This motherfucker has been murdering old people. And people think he's a hero. He's not. He's a murderer. Governor Inslee's probably been doing the same. Not the same scale, probably, you know, and I don't know why, but maybe he has. I just don't have the direct evidence. What I can say is this, though. There is no evidence of a fucking plague or pandemic in Little Saigon other than the fear. I can also say that I don't put it past them using a biological weapon at this point. So if during the first and second wave you thought to yourself, this is bullshit, and you were basically right, they probably want to convince you it's not bullshit, and they probably just want to kill a lot of people. They do probably want to burn down the restaurant, so to speak. I don't see a Humpty Dumpty gets put back together again reset in the cards. It doesn't really work like that. The only way you get the reset that people describe is if you pretty much kill 6 out of 10 people, maybe 7, and then you get the reset described. Otherwise, the rich people you're talking about who have mostly paper wealth, they would have to give up most of their actual wealth to even get the reset to work. You have to meditate on this shit. Plus, they got to pay people a lot of money just to stay alive. They are riding a bubble in a literal figurative sense. They are riding an impossible bubble, and there just isn't enough money to keep these people alive indefinitely. At some point, someone's going to kill these people. These are terribly evil people. And as fallen as Earth is right now, as fallen a world as this is, I'm not ready to give up on human beings, and I think there's enough good people left that if these people got into the wrong room at the wrong time, they wouldn't live long. They are pieces of shit, but there is no rule of law. So this time around, they might use. But I was thinking about COVID-19, and one of the core strategies of government is divide and conquer. It really is divide and conquer. COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter, but really COVID-19 in a way beyond Black Lives Matter, the whole race war bullshit, COVID-19 is a perfect divide and conquer strategy. It pits children against their parents. It pits elderly people against children. It pits everybody against everybody, and we're all meant to be alone. And I gotta tell you something, if the government wants to kill you, the easiest way for them to kill you is for you just to isolate yourself. Okay, that way there's no problem with witnesses. That way there's no issue with being seen. If they want to poison you while you're alone in your apartment and say, oh, there was COVID. COVID killed him. It wasn't ricin. It wasn't something else. It wasn't a chemical agent. It wasn't a biological weapon. It was COVID. Yeah, COVID-19 is the perfect divide and conquer strategy. And I still don't know the purpose. I think people want to believe in the big reset because it frankly makes them feel better. I do. It sounds weird, especially for the Liberty folks, but in the big reset, you can imagine that shit will still kind of work, and you can imagine that maybe the Death Star gets more evil, but you can still carve out a life on the lower docks, or I should say the lower floors or whatever, somewhere in the Death Star in a corridor where they just don't have the resources to give a shit. You know, near the sewers, the sewer plant on the Death Star. You think you can still carve out a free life someplace. And I'm telling you, folks, that's wishful fucking thinking. I don't believe there's enough actual wealth left to get the big reset to work unless you kill most people. You'd have to. Because the very strategy of doing everything they've done has squeezed the intelligence, the creativity, the imagination and the work ethic and energy out of a lot of the slaves they use. So they've kind of basically reached the end of the fucking rainbow. You can only, you know, it's an old saying about getting blood from a stone, but it is a true saying. And I think that they've stolen so much and abused us so much that they've really probably gotten as much as they can get. And that's why I do get dark about this sometimes, because I don't see a future in their strategy for people. Maybe there's a future for a few people, and maybe there's a future for robots and a future for Satan. But I don't see in their worldview a future for people like me, or ordinary people at all, really. So yeah, COVID-19. I mean, I don't like to say, you know, congratulations or give compliments to evil bastards. But I just have to tip my hat to Bill Gates and company. COVID-19 was kind of perfect. And it still is kind of perfect, because if they release a biological weapon now, it will have a kind of cachet. It'll be like, oh, you thought this was bullshit, but look at this. Nurses covered in viscera and blood. See, Dan, there was a COVID. You're a bastard. Yeah. If after 2020 you still have any faith in your government, I cannot help you. And if after 2020 you have no faith in Jesus, I really, really cannot help you. Next topic. So I had a weird idea today because, well, I had some weird ideas this morning and I ended up sending a billion emails to a couple friends about them and, you know, using gangster talk parlance because I'd like to keep that stuff secret, hint, hint. It is related to some business ideas, but I was thinking about this one idea that is not directly related, and that is, what if you could float an automated factory for printing guns, soup to nuts, a factory for printing guns and a factory for making ammunition, and you float it 20 miles up. You make it solar powered. It takes stray water vapor from 20 miles up. There's a little with a condenser. It uses the water vapor to make hydrogen, and so it keeps itself afloat. It has solar panels, and there will be no clouds. So during the day, they will have unobstructed access to the full brunt force of the sun, pretty much. So in terms of solar efficiency, they'll max it out. So what if you built these tiny factories? Assume you could float a ton 20 miles up, and assume for that weight, you need to reserve some of it for materials that need to get replenished. And then also assume you could like have a little parachute canister system where basically once you get a gun order, it comes in, and then you pay for the gun using your, you know, actual functional crypto. And then a couple days later, you see a parachute coming towards your home. It's a remote controlled parachute that has some directional control. It's a thing, actually. Like parasail. Yeah. So you pay for your gun in the Sky Factory, build your gun, and provide you with ammo and all that comes to you in a canister that you can then return for money, okay, for a return amount of money or resources or whatever, you can return it to the ground office. So there's an office on the ground. Let's say we put the office in Kitsap, on the Kitsap Peninsula. Maybe on the Kitsap Peninsula. The office is on the ground, and then tethered above or in some type of control above, because I don't know if we need a tether. I think that we could use steam rocket jets to keep it in a relatively stationary position. But then again, why would you want it tethered? It would actually be your delivery vehicle too. But above you is both your delivery vehicle and your factory. Or rather, maybe the factory's tethered and the delivery vehicles are just different dirigibles that in an automated way grab the next gun, load their canisters, and then they go on their merry, you know, dirigible robot Santa Claus way at 20 miles up delivering guns from the sky with ammo. And if we got really kind of nostalgic, we could shape the gun factory in the shape of the floating head from Zardoz. And could you imagine the floating head goes to some conflict zone in, you know, Mississippi in the year 2025? The gun is good. The gun is yours. The gun can be bought for 6 Krupeks and it's delivered from the sky, you know, or vomited on you as Zardoz. Zardoz rules. Go to Zardoz.com. Go to Zardoz.com. And you know what? If we could buy Zardoz.com, that would be our website. We put the office in Kitsap County. We put the main factory floating 20 miles above it. Here's why we do tether the factory. We tether the factory because we're going to send resources from our probably, like, you know, fucking, not garbage dump, but, you know, scrap metal yard or whatever. We're going to have some sort of junkyard. And that junkyard metal is what we're going to use to build the guns and make the printing material. We're going to take, we're going to use garbage for all the materials we use to make the guns and the ammo. Fuck you, bastards. We're going to take that garbage and we're going to recycle it into guns. Yeah, Zardoz.com is where you'd go. And I think if we can develop a crypto that works, but we'll accept cryptos that work, because if it doesn't work, literally, logically, by definition, it won't work. But we'll accept whatever is reasonable, and you'll pay for it, whatever Krumpus or barter or frumptic whale whore or whatever you have. You'll take your mutant seals that are eating the salmon with the burning eyes, and you'll say, take my mutant seal, and we'll say, for that amount of protein that we'll put into the stew, we'll print you 3 guns. And they'll fall from the sky. Return the canisters for your deposit. Return the canisters and parachutes for your deposit. Actually, as crazy as it sounds, putting your fourth industrial revolution factories 20 miles up kind of makes a lot of fucking sense. Yes, it is a technical challenge. And yes, the lifting gas envelope would be big. But have you ever meditated on the cost of property? Have you ever meditated on the cost, the long-term cost of maintaining property for a company that makes things and not being an asshole? Which means that you don't want to poison the water, you don't want to poison the soil, you don't want to poison your neighbor's air, not because it's against the law, but because you don't want to be a fucking asshole. Have you ever thought of the idea that if 3D printing and advanced metallurgy, because think about what you could do with concave mirrors and metallurgy at 20 miles on a sunny day, okay? Meditate on the different things you could do to melt and form metal, including garbage metal. And we could do the experimentation and the research, and we could come up with the basic strategies. I think we could produce a gun from a lot of garbage, basically, a lot of junk. And we could produce it 20 miles up, and then it could be delivered by little dirigibles that go about their merry way. Maybe we say one dirigible delivers 10 canisters. Hell, if you order 10, that dirigible will probably just show up and land and bring you a bottle of whiskey. I don't know. But not expensive whiskey. Remember, it's 2025. 2025, we've already started eating the Frenchies. By 2025, Beans. Yeah. Sorry, Beans. I'm so sorry. Sorry, Beans. But you know, it's still 5 years away, right? So Beans, you got 5 more years until we start eating the Frenchies. I think. Yes, indeed, Zardoz.com is where you would order your sky gun, and you would get it delivered from the sky. If you return the canister, you'll get back your deposit. We're going to make little 9mm Gatling guns. They'll fit on your hand. We'll call them Wrist Rocket X. And they'll be belt-fed from a backpack of 9mm. Technically semi-auto, but with a small little chip that you can get from another guy. Yeah, technically semi-auto. But with a little mod, your little Wrist Rocket Gatling gun 9mm, 4-barreled 9mm, electric handheld, battery-powered 9mm Gatling gun that can shoot standard 9mm. We're going to come out with a 357-38 combo next, but the point is, that little 9mm will have a rate of fire in semi-auto mode that would rival any semi-auto, but with the mod, you could have a standard rate of fire of 2,000 rounds per second max, but I would set it at 800 rounds. I think 800 rounds per minute, I said 200, I said second, I shouldn't have said 2,000 per second. My point is, I would have the setting on my little handheld 9mm Gatling gun. You know, really, it'd be like, it's not really handheld, it would actually strap to your wrist. I would have the setting at 800 rounds per minute. Because I think I want to be conservative. I'd want to be bum, 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 versus bleh, bleh, because really, you burn through ammo in a gunfight, that's terrible. And of course, the gun will come with a laser sight, a laser target sight, or a laser aimer, so you don't really have to aim other than just point and aim, and it'll shoot at the laser within the laser target, let's say within an accuracy zone up to 100 meters, and at 100 meters, the circular error probability for 50% will be 2 inches. But at 100 meters, if you can do that with your little handheld, you know, wrist rocket X 9mm Gatling gun, and you have an adjustable rate of fire up to 2,000 rounds per minute, it seems to me you don't have to worry too much about accuracy. Yes, indeed. And that in city distances, this thing will be very accurate. Yeah, in city distances, in apartment distances, this thing will be incredible. And we'll make special ammo for apartment dwellers that won't pierce the wall, so you can totally just obliterate a dude without actually killing your neighbors. Yes, indeed, the Zardoz. The Zardoz 8 billion, you're currently being sold for 50 trillion. So, I don't want to talk too much about this. If you follow me on YouTube, you need to know a couple things. I've had a couple accounts on YouTube, and I've been posting old videos from previous accounts. I don't post them all because some of them are just really too crappy. But you need to know something. I am not special, but yes, I am shadow banned. A lot of people are these days. It doesn't make you special. Actually, a lot of people are. They don't think they are because they don't understand how sophisticated it is. And so even though I'm shadow banned, I'll still get followers. I'll still get a few people who follow me who can follow me who don't suck. But if I do get followers, I get a lot of trolls. I get a lot of people also who are just pieces of shit. The only reason why they make a comment like the asshole who said nothing you say is true, that is literally a false statement, because if I said nothing that was true, you wouldn't be able to fucking understand me, Donald fucking Baker. Are you fucking stupid? Okay? If literally nothing I said was true, that would mean that all I produce is pure noise. But if that was the case, how would you even know what I was fucking saying? How could you evaluate the truth? You see what I'm saying, Donald, you stupid fuck? But the fact is, I'm angry at something or someone that doesn't even fucking exist. Donald Baker was a fake account with zero followers. It was a fucking throw-together bullshit. It's so easy to do. It's done all the time. And if you have deep pockets and can afford to buy a lot of burner phones, you can do some really interesting stuff with social media. But the fact is, I am one of those people who, for whatever reason, is never going to have a lot of followers on SoundCloud or YouTube. I've actually proven, even though I pay SoundCloud, I have proven that they go through and call my followers. Every time I get above 250, give it a couple weeks, they come through and they call, they eliminate 30 or 40 people. And I have emailed them, explained to them that I pay them money, so maybe they shouldn't be shitbirds, but they don't give a fuck. You don't live in a free world. You don't live in some free enterprise economy. If we did, they wouldn't treat people like this, okay? If we actually, you know, think about this, and also meditate on what I'm about to say. When you go to the restaurant, you get food, and hopefully it's not poison. But we don't live in a world right now where you can be sure it's not poison. Because there is no principle or ethic by which these people will obey you. They will obey the government. If the government gave them a protein substitute and they gave an order that they could only make protein dishes with the magical government protein, then I promise you every fucking restaurant you go to would only have their magical protein. And I don't know if it would be dead bugs or soybeans or rancid oil from the corn plants, or if it would be a little bit of your next door neighbor that went missing, or the cats and dogs that are going missing. Anywho, it's okay, guys. I don't really give a shit. You know, worrying about shadow banning is a problem from a year ago. Worrying about shadow banning is a problem from a mystical fucking world that no longer fucking exists. It's like asking yourself, will Governor Cuomo or Governor Inslee or Mayor fucking Durkin ever get arrested? Or better yet, the jokes about suing them. You don't live in that world anymore, and some of you still think you do. That's really stupid. Donald Baker, if he or she or it existed, believes they live in a world where whatever they say actually means something to me. They don't. And it's not like it did a year ago. It means even less today because my eyes are open as fuck, and I don't mean woke. I mean I'm seeing the world for what it is. With the help of Jesus Christ, yes, also. And so I see through this bullshit. Doesn't make it easier. Doesn't make life easier for anybody. But at least I understand. And I also know I'm not special because there are millions of people. Millions of people in America and billions around the world. And I mean at least billions, if not hundreds of millions, who are abused by the same systems of censorship and control. So I'm not special. I simply recognize it for what it is. I recognize the system, the maze. And some people do and some people don't. And for a lot of people who just care about posting pictures of cats or selling their fucking protein shake recipe, this will never be an issue because the government doesn't give a... They don't give a fuck about your protein recipe or your fucking cats. They really don't. Now, at some point, they may want to collect up your cats to put into the protein shake. But that day isn't here yet. That day comes 2 weeks before Frenchie Day. 1 week after we've run out of the elephants and the rhinoceroses at the zoo. And probably 2 months before you start seeing tattoos on your protein cubes. Yeah, that's pretty gross. Last topic. And good news, we're under an hour. But last topic... And we're going to talk about it. So when I was growing up, and I just, you know, put the boilerplate out of the way, I love my mom and I love my dad. My dad and I had some rough history, and I can't tell you that it's completely worked out. The sad part is my dad died when I was still kind of a young man, and there was never a chance for us to work it all out. That's okay. That's life. Read Ecclesiastes. I keep going back to Ecclesiastes a lot these days. And not just the nice part about a time for this and a time for that and a time for this and a time for that. Everybody loves to read that shit. Oh crap, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Jesus. Everybody loves to read that part of Ecclesiastes. Very few people want to read the whole thing. And guess what? In an upcoming podcast, I'm going to read the whole thing. And then I will do a podcast where we talk about it. But anywho, I miss my father, especially these days. I miss the fact that he was so tough. I miss my mom, especially around this time of year, because she was an amazing cook, and she was. She wasn't just an amazing cook. My mom could cook a volume. Like, every Christmas, every December, we had one of those big freezers. If you're a country folk person and you hunt the deer and the rhinoceros in the woods, or you hunt the whale, or you go get a half a beef, you know what I mean by those big freezers, those big giant freezers. Well, we had one of those, and it seems like my mom, and this is a bit of an exaggeration, but it seems like my mom would fill up the whole thing with Christmas cookies. Like, after Thanksgiving, she would go into Christmas cookie mode. And so she would be making a bazillion Christmas cookies, and these were really tasty. And they were so well done that even when you ate them, quote-unquote, out of the freezer, they were even tastier. my mom made amazing meals, and she raised a big family. And life's not perfect, and parents aren't perfect, but I was pretty lucky to have the parents I had. I didn't know it growing up, but I know it now. A lot of things you don't know growing up. A lot of things you don't learn until it feels like it's almost too late, but it's not too late. Now, I have to do the boilerplate, the memory lane stuff, because I'm about to talk about the honey puff pancake. Okay, so what is the honey puff pancake? Well, the honey puff pancake was a breakfast meal my mom would make, and I think they're also called Dutch babies, but please don't quote me on that because I'm kind of horrified by the idea of making a Dutch baby for breakfast. Even though Hillary and John Podesta and Bill Gates, I think they actually had Dutch babies. That's right. Anyways, my mom would make something called a honey puff pancake. And it was so amazing. When it came out of the frickin' oven, it was so tasty looking. It was this fluffy, tasty, a little bit of egg, some frickin' flour. And I don't want to get into the whole issue of, you know, lactose. Yes, the food is poison. Let's all just agree on that. And really, the food is poison started with that Norman Borlaug bullshit. He got the Nobel Prize, right? But he basically shoved a poison agricultural model down our fucking throats, a lot like the fluoride from the attractive Asian doctor. Anywho, my mom, some mornings, and I pondered this, some mornings my mom would make this honey puff pancake, and we really loved it. It was so exciting, because when it came out of the oven, it was fluffy and tasty, and that lasted about, you know, 2 minutes. That's right. For 2 minutes, the honey puff pancake would be fluffy and tasty. For about 2 minutes. And if it was a morning where we were going to have breakfast with Dad, and keep in mind, my dad was a really hard worker. He was a logger. Morning for my dad during fire season, like, could start at 2 a.m. Morning in normal circumstances could still start at 2 a.m. if he had to drive to a logging site far away. We wouldn't have breakfast at 2 a.m., but there were mornings where we had it at like 5 or 6, and that was like perfectly normal, like for our family, to actually have breakfast at 6 a.m. It's funny because when I got into the Army, it was one of those things that did not bother me. It's like, yeah, breakfast at 6 a.m. kind of makes sense, you know? And you know, it is terrible, but my mom would make this honey puff pancake, and it was so fluffy and wonderful when it came out of the oven, but in about 2 minutes, roughly 120 seconds, it would collapse upon itself and return to a nasty, greasy, semi-consumable, but not fluffy or wonderful state. And I've thought about it, and in some ways, I think I know why Mom cooked it. And it wasn't because it was easy. It was probably hard. It was probably difficult. It probably took a lot of time to cook a honey puff pancake. I think my mom cooked it to teach us a lesson. Life is great. And my mom cooked amazing meals. But life is not perfect, folks. And life is filled with something that a lot of the douchebags who run our world don't want to have honest conversations about. Especially the Ray Kurzweil freaks who tell you if you live another 20 years, you'll live forever. Life is full of disappointment. If you've never been disappointed, I don't believe you. I really don't. I think you're lying. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to others. And fucking Donald Baker, if you're listening, if you've never been disappointed, you're a douchebag liar too. The point is, life is full of disappointment. Life is full of things that don't turn out the way we expect them to. One of the most important lessons you can learn when you're young, and it'll make tough times harder and better times better, is that life is full of disappointment. And in some way, that was the message of the honey puff pancake. because it was probably the most disappointing breakfast ever. Like, you have great expectations. It's like, you know, you have great expectations of the Honey Pup Pancake. You do. You have great expectations of this flaky, tasty, wonderful thing that's going to be so tasty, and it'll be wonderful and filled with little bubbles, and it'll stay flaky and tasty, and there's no thermodynamics, there's no gas laws, there's no ideal principles of physics. It's all a magical land of the fluffy, fucking tasty, warm and nice Honey Pup Pancake. But then a few minutes later, because Dad, we're having breakfast with Dad, and we're going to wait for Dad. And you know what? We should wait for Dad. And that's part of the lesson too. Dad gets there, and yeah, it's collapsed upon. Because we should have probably had it right out of the oven. If we wanted any chance in hell of the tasty puff pancake, we probably should have grabbed it, but then it would have been super hot. We would have burned our mouths. The fact is, the main purpose of the Honey Pup Pancake, other than making sure that we would still get eggs and bacon, is that ultimately it was disappointing. It was wonderful for a while, and sometimes you might be lucky enough to have some of that flake still there. And my mom was an amazing cook. So in that kind of Sherlock Holmes sense, you know, ask yourself what the simplest explanation is. Or better yet, you know, Occam's razor sense. What Occam's razor tells me is that my mom did this to teach us a lesson about disappointment. That was the Honey Pup Pancake. And life is disappointing. Not all the time. Not all the time. People you love will disappoint you. And guess what? If they're decent people, they did it with volition, which means they made a mistake that harmed you and they did it on purpose, they'll apologize. And if they're decent people, but it was by accident, they'll still probably apologize. And if they can, decent people will make restitution. But the fact is, people will disappoint you. I'm a podcaster, and I think I'm okay at it. But you know something? I probably disappointed a bunch of people over the last couple years because I've been telling them what's in my head and my heart and not necessarily what's in theirs. And I'm honest about it. Okay, this is not the Bob McKenzie or the Donald Baker or the Shimbus McGee podcast. This is mine. And these opinions are mine. Whether they're good or bad, shitty or otherwise, I'm not going to put them on somebody else. And for some people, some of the things I've had to talk about, including topics like the clathrate gun, which I do not want to talk about now, or geoengineering, this is disappointing for some people because they don't want to think about certain things. Like, they can go a certain distance down the road of seeing the world for what it is, but not all the way down the road, because all the way down the road's a really fucking scary place. Also read Ecclesiastes, because it's in there too. In fact, if you ask me, the Honey Pup Pancake should be renamed. The Honey Pup Pancake or the Dutch Baby. No, we shouldn't actually eat Dutch babies. But the Honey Pup Pancake should be renamed. And I think it should be called the Ecclesiastes Breakfast. That's what it should be called. Because one of the important themes of Ecclesiastes is that there is in this life on earth, not the forever life with God, not the eternal life, but the life of human beings as they struggle in this world, there are oceans of disappointment. Oceans of disappointment that are also surrounded by mountains of beauty. The fact is, there's good and there's bad. The salt will have its savor for a while, and then guess what? No amount of salt will bring flavor. These are things that happen. Okay? We're given a body. It's wonderful. But you know what? Even if you sit on it, even if you don't do anything to harm it, you eat perfectly, you work out every day, no matter what you do, your body will fall apart. You will be disappointed, and you will be happy. You will be disappointed, and you will have love. You will be disappointed, and you will also at times be amazed by people and things. So let's not call it the Honey Pup Pancake, okay? Let's call it the Ecclesiastes Cake. The Ecclesiastes Cake, I think. Anywho, I love, you know, this time of year, especially around Thanksgiving, it's important to remember and recognize things. Like, for example, I try not to talk about my ex-wife because her life is her fucking business. And I hope she's happy. And with respect to the marriage, she had a right to dump me and I was a shitty husband. All of those statements are true. I don't think I was the worst husband in the world, and I don't think she was necessarily the best wife. And our marriage, well, it was a question mark. But there are things that I miss, and I actually miss her family around Christmas time. It's weird, because at first, I didn't know what to think, but in a lot of ways, her family is kind of a great people, bunch of people to be around. It's weird. You wouldn't understand it unless you lived it. That being said, this time of year brings up memories for a lot of people, including me. And I have memories of Christmas that are good memories. I have memories of Thanksgiving that are great memories, most of which involve my mom. Some of those memories involve my Uncle Wayne, who's still alive. I haven't seen him in years, and I don't know what he would think of me if I talked to him at this point. But I used to talk to Uncle Wayne. He is an outdoorsman, and he's a very knowledgeable outdoorsman. And the joking I did on those podcasts with my friend from Canada and other places, Survival Quest Theater, he was like Survival Quest Theater. He had these stories of being an outdoorsman that were fantastic, of hunting and fishing and camping. And I used to hang on every word. Yes, I love my dad, but I really did love Uncle Wayne's stories. I have great memories of Thanksgiving. That was part of it. Okay? Part of it. It is disappointing that we live in a tyranny right now. It is disappointing that there is no rule of law. I was not disappointed by the rule of law thing because I threw off that old thing, that old garment in 2016. I was on the train. I stopped in Libertarianville. I found it wanting. And when you get back on the train, if you live in Libertarianville and you vote Libertarian, and you realize that they too are commie pieces of shit, that it's a gaslight operation, it's a hangout basically designed to suck people in, it's a roach motel. Once you realize the Libertarian Party is a roach motel, which is disappointing, you gotta get back on the train, and the next stop on the train is something I call Anarchy Land, and that's not chaos. That's freedom. The land of freedom, the land where people solve problems without pointing guns at each other. Yeah, that's actually what freedom looks like. But a lot of people, they're not ready to get back on that train yet. They're not ready to leave whatever city they're in because they still think it can't get any worse, you know. And yes, we all must do evil on the Death Star to get by, to get a paycheck. But it's evil by inches, right? Not by feet, not by miles. There's people who still believe this, and they will believe this until, I think, in some cases, to the point of tragedy, but it's hard to call it a tragedy when everything is there for you to make a different choice. But it is a tragedy. It is. Because that's also tragic. And part of tragedy is that characters are given hints and signs. It's like Caesar, you know, and his wife kind of just, you know, hinting to him. I don't even know if this is real or if this is just Shakespeare. But it's like Caesar and his wife. And his wife, oh, you sure you want to go, and, you know, to the Senate today? Yes, Julius, you want to go and become Red Julius? Red Julius Shake? Red Julius Power Fruit Shake? Old-fashioned Roman way, we use a bunch of knives. Very disappointing. Empires are like honey pup pancakes. I'm sorry, but they are. Yes, they cook for a long time. But once you pull them out of the oven, which means once you take away the resources that allow the empire to function, that's basically a honey pup pancake. And that, too, is in Ecclesiastes. So anywho, I'm going to close this out and say, God bless you all. Yes, I did, in fact, use the words of the Bible in a context during this podcast for which I am ashamed. God knows this. And I'm working on it. But this is a podcast, not a service of the church. So the Lord in heaven knows this. I hope you do too. Please, please. And by all means, tomorrow morning, make a honey pup pancake. Some of you claim, I've never been disappointed. Well, then make a honey pup pancake. But you don't get to eat it until 5 minutes later. and you will be deeply, deeply disappointed.